When Declan Noone became president of the DHC 7 months ago, he probably did not expect to have to run the organization during a global pandemic. In this week's edition of DHC Now, we interview Declan about his first 7 months in the job, and we also ask him how DHC had to adapt to these new and strange times. Here is Declan, giving his impressions about his first 7 months in the job.
Yeah, 7 months. This is flown by. It's a very, very different perspective. The one thing that I think probably struck me the most, congratulations and well wishes of everybody. Like even yesterday morning, I got one, and that's like 8 months out. But it's also nice to see that everybody's kind of really connected and really paying attention and really looking at what's going on.
What's been the hardest thing to do to switch going from an employee or volunteer to, you know, heading the whole machine?
I didn't really expect it to be that hard in terms of knowing that there was a good support there and that I could rely on pretty much anyone. So that gave me a lot of confidence. The hardest part is trying to know where you're supposed to steer. I know where we want to go in the future. The broad spectrum of access is good for everybody. People have treatment in the way that they want. They have access to new therapies, gene therapy, having the options, having at least the education and the discussions to make sure that they're making the right choices for themselves. But it's kind of the day-to-day decision-making that was a little bit more than I was expecting. I really enjoyed it. It's been the most fun thing to do because normally I get to sit in my box and do the thing that's in front of me or the next thing. So you have one or two things going at the one time. Whereas this, there's so many different levels within hemophilia. And then there's, you know, the EPF and there's your Ordis. And there's EHAD and there's WFH and there's NHF, and it's just kind of being aware of what everything is going on. That's probably the hardest. It's just kind of so many balls up in the air at the one time.
Yeah.
For normally, I normally have one or two.
How has it been connecting with the members since you got elected?
It's been good. One of the things that I noticed that was the difficulty in terms of getting to talk to everybody. So that weekend, it was just, you know, it was super busy. There was a lot of handover and discussions. One thing that I didn't get the real opportunity to do at the EHC meeting was to talk to people. Thankfully, I've been able to catch up with most people at different meetings at the start of the year. And now with the community calls, it's really nice to see familiar faces on the calls and the interactions that are there. It is a community that is incredibly strong, and the support that they have given throughout the first couple of months has been amazing. That has probably been the bit that has really struck me.
What about this whole travel ban?
I quite like the way that we have adjusted. I think there is a real opportunity to make an impact in doing something different, trying something new, because we've never tried it before. We have the community there that is really well connected. This is a different way of connecting. Or I'm sad that the events didn't happen. I'm sad we didn't have the round table, the women of bleeding disorders, the youth. The opportunity that it has given has been quite a good and interesting challenge. But at the same time, when we start to look at the connections that are built up over those events on an international level, a little bit more difficult. So you have to work that a little bit harder in terms of communication and checking in. I think I've sent a lot more emails. I've had a lot more Zooms, and I think it will kind of change going forward. Like one of the things that I have that has been on my mind or I've been thinking about is how we do like a 10, 15 minute check-in call with each one of the organizations just to see where they are, what they need. So that would be something that I would like to do in the future. But I wish, I kind of wish I could travel more. I don't miss travel at all. I feel great. Like in terms of not being on a plane, not being in an airport, love it. Like that bit's really nice. But it would be nice to attend some events of national countries. As we're kind of coming into the summer, a lot of the camps that would go on where kids would learn to self-infuse may not go ahead. Are people thinking about this? How are they planning to do self-infusion classes? How can we learn from what we've kind of been through around either telemedicine, the Zoom calls? How do we learn from all that to make sure that we still provide the services?
Yeah. How do you see in the future collaboration with WFH, especially for our outside EU members?
I think the opportunities around the Central Eastern West divide is quite significant, and the last couple of surveys has really demonstrated that and really indicates the amount of work that we really need to do in Eastern Europe to get everybody up to good treatment levels, yeah, there's a lot of opportunities there. There's a lot of collaboration that can be done. So we're quite looking forward to working in that area. Obviously, we can't forget the needs for the central and the western regions as well, and working with WFH, because we also need to work on access for gene therapies, novel therapies, and improvement of care. The opportunities for closer collaboration with the WFH on the gene therapy registry within the Western and Central countries, the WBDR linkages with developed registries. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and there's plenty of work to be done so it can be shared around.
What would you like to see done by the end of 2020?
So I really don't want to drop the physical EHC conference. And yet, that is the one time a year we all get together and do the important discussions, have good debates. Particularly this year with COVID, you know, we need to do that more than ever, because we want to make sure that the strides that have gone on the last 10 or 5 years are maintained at the end of this. I think we're going to go into a space where some of the hemophilia treatment centers are not closed down, but the space has been reduced and it has been allocated somewhere else. Or the nursing time has been taken up by reallocating that nurse to half day somewhere else. That's essentially providing the service that we need now. But we want to make sure that at the end of 2020, we have plans and thought out discussions on what we need to do and how we need to position ourselves so that we get that service back for those patients that need it. Because we were really starting to develop and providing the opportunities for from Willebrand's for rare bleeding disorders, for women to really get the opportunity to move forward. I really want to have the face-to-face in Copenhagen so that we can talk these issues out and kind of have a bit of a plan forward. But I am aware that may or may not happen. I think from an EHC perspective, what we need to do is make sure that the content that we were going to deliver, that we continue to deliver that over the course of the year. You know, come out of this as strong as we possibly can.
We hope you enjoyed this interview. To stay up to date with EHC news and online events, please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and visit ehc.eu for more information. Thank you. Until next time.